What a great, serve a great God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Amen. And He's here today to touch you. He's here today to bless you. Amen. And we want to see God do that in this service today. Amen. This is my first multiple dedication. But it's just got to that place. Babies are popping out everywhere. And if we did one with every baby, our Sunday schools would never exist. So we're teaming up, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing today. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24. Amen. Joshua 24, verse 11 through 15. And you went over Jordan, came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Gigasites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornets before you, which drave them out from before you, even to the kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor thy bow. And I have given you the land for which ye did not labor, cities which ye built not. Ye dwell in them, in the vineyards and olive yards, which ye planted not, do ye eat. Therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other sides of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your forefathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's worship Him right now. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We praise you this morning. Have pray, God, your will be done. And speak to every heart that your will be done in Jesus' name. You can be seated. Amen. I want to speak to you a home that's blessed. A home that's blessed. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was making a decision that day. Amen. And he chose and spoke on behalf of himself and his family. See, folks, God values a Christian home. He does. He values a Christian home. And many Christians do not see their homes to be as sacred as the church. They have undervalued, they have underestimated God's perspective and God's desire for what is to be in the home. So I want to talk to you today, and I want to highlight and outline the importance of home, the importance of family, and that built around serving God. You see, God's pattern for family and His principles for blessing in the home. God wants to do that in each home here today. He wants to bless your home. He wants you to have principles in your home and stand for something. You see, I want to challenge the modern trend and the things that endanger the true Christian home, the Christian family home. God began human existence with a marriage, a family. This first community that God established was a family and a home. And He had relationship with man in the context of the family before the setting of the church. You know, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, they didn't have, quote unquote, a church setting to go to like this. That was their home. And the Israelites did not have a formal place to worship until Moses built their tabernacle. So previous to this, the place of worship, where? was at home. And all worship was directed and led by the head of the home, the husband, the father. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them. So here he's speaking to the leader, the home, the father. And he's saying, I want you, what's in your heart, you have to teach. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. There's not a lot of teaching goes on in homes anymore, is there? And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. There's not a lot of talk going on in homes today, is there? And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. See, what we have done, folks, we have replaced the home with the church. If you want a strong church, you need to have strong homes. Amen? Amen. And I believe that all comes with knowing the Word of God. David said, I want to hide thy word in my heart. Why? So I don't sin against you. And because there's not a lot of the Word of God being hidden in the hearts, there's also a lot of sin going on in the homes today. Amen? Oh, you got quiet on me. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't get quiet on me. But we have replaced the home situation with the church. For many Christians and their families, all spirituality is exercised in the church. For most of their families, all the prayer is exercised in the church. For most families, all the teaching of the Word of God is exercised in the church and not in the home. Sometimes we need to shut that box off and say, let's talk about God. How was your day today? Come on. You don't get quiet on me, folks. Is this true? Is this the Word of God? Or is it what? So what I'm saying here is all the things that we do at church should be done at home also. Come on. In too many Christian homes, there has been a lack of responsibility for godly leadership. Let me tell you something. Godly leadership is not easy. And that's why a lot of it has been let down on. There you go again, getting quiet. How do we experience genuine divine blessings in our homes? What can we do to reinitiate God's desire in our homes? We should have a desire for our children to know God, to serve God, to understand God, and understand that He is what they need going forward for their future. College educations are great, but it isn't nothing if you don't have God. Great jobs are great, but they are nothing if you don't have God. We bend over backwards, we work ourselves to our fingers to the bone, and we want our kids to have great educations and all these great things, but we don't put the Word of God in them. You're fooling yourself. Come on. We have to choose to make our home His home. Joshua 24, verse 15, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made a choice for his home. Men, if you're leaders in your home, you need to make a choice in your home. we're going to serve God in this household. Let me tell you something. My dad put it this way too. This is my house, my rules, and you live by my rules. And we go to church in this house. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. When my dad and mom were first married, he wasn't living for God. He knew about it. His daddy was a preacher. My dad rebelled. When he got married and a preacher knocked on his door and invited him to church, my dad went and never looked back. My mom wasn't raised to go to church, so she didn't want to go. Dad says, we're going. Mom wouldn't get up and help get the four kids that were ready there. She wouldn't help. So he'd get me ready, sit me on the couch and say, don't move. He'd grab my brother and he'd take him in and get him ready and set him on the couch and said, don't move. And right on down the line. And he got himself ready, and off to church we went. Wasn't long, Mom was going. Mom never looked back. And all eight of us went to church every Sunday morning. Come home. Every Sunday night, went to church. Every Wednesday night, if there was a cleaning day, our family went to church, folks. Because my dad said, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Come on. He didn't have a lot of money, but we had Jesus. I would see him grab his crutches with rheumatoid arthritis, his knees swelled up real big, and he'd walk out, hobble out in that car and drive us to church. Folks, he was going to live for God, and his children were going to live for God. All of his kids, except for one, are living for God today. Amen? And my brother, he'll be back. He knows where he needs to be. It's up here. Amen? He slept under the pews as a baby. He was left at church when all of us went home. Somebody would knock on our door. Did you forget somebody? Joshua made a choice. His choice was for his household to serve one God only, to worship one God only, a choice against idolatry, amen, and it was a choice against idolatry and for faithfulness to God. Regardless of the choices of others, Joshua's wife and Joshua's children knew which way he was going to lead them. They knew. And folks, the challenges of Joshua's day are no less than those that we are living among today. Now, we have to choose to live according to God's design for us in our homes and with our families. There is a plaque that is put up in some of the homes, and it reads like this: Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest of every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. Jacob also made a clear decision for his spiritual direction in his family. He said in Genesis 35, verse 2 through 5, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods that were in their hand, and all the earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Ask yourself, is my home God's home? Is my home God's home? You see, it's no good saying, well, of course it is, because I'm a Christian. You can call yourself whatever you want. You can go in your garage, call yourself a car if you want to. Doesn't make you a car. You can call yourself a Christian, but are you really? Or is it just a Christian on Sunday? What I'm saying is, it's no good saying I'm a Christian I'm asking you, is God's home your home? Folks, it involves much more than just saying it is. There is a secular pressure on Christians' homes today to compromise our highest spiritual values. Do we behave at home like we do at church? You can run and jump and shout all you want here. Do you do it at home? We are surrounded daily with opportunities to offer greater worth, worship to other things, to other people, more than we do God. What do you value higher than God? Is having materialistic things more important to you than living for God? Is your home your sanctuary unto God? See, I had the influence of parents who lived for Jesus Christ in our home, who taught us that we must live and fear God, whatever the happy or difficult situation that the family faced together. In troubled times, when it was hard to put food on the table, my dad trusted in God. My mom trusted in the Lord. And God did mighty great things to us, our family growing up. God brought healings, folks in our family, that were desperately needed. I saw these things as a child growing up, and I wanted them for my family. See, living in such a way brings blessing to one's home. In Psalms 128 and 1 through 6, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children live, children like olive plants around about the table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. You see, in this way, even a lone Christian in an unbelieving home can bring blessing. If you're the only one in your home that lives for God, you can bring blessing to that home. Amen? You can bring blessing to that home. If you're the only one in your job that lives for God, you can bring blessing to that job. If you're the only one in that school that lives for God, you can bring blessing to that school. Pray for these places. Amen. I would believe that employers that I've worked for before would be blessed because I worked there. I tell my wife and children, your company can be blessed because you work there. Amen. That's the God we serve. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. But you know, we have to welcome God's presence into our home, folks. If God isn't there, who is? For 2 Samuel 6, 9 through 11, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him and into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. You see, David was trying to get the ark back to Jerusalem, and as it went to fall, one of the young men that was carrying it touched the ark and was killed. Because they knew Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God, and God smote him. They were not to touch it. And so they put it in Obed-Edom's home until, they could figure out how to get this to Jerusalem, because David wanted the presence of God in Jerusalem. And that's what David was saying. He was afraid that day. But here, folks, they weren't going about it the way God said to carry it. Understand, we need to live for God, but you've got to do it God's way. Come on. Listen, if you're here today and you're a spouse, you don't just love that woman or that man any way you want. If there's certain things they don't like, you better not do it. Come on. Husbands, if they like roses and you buy them daisies, come on. You got to give them what they like. And God is a God who wants what he wants. And he likes what he likes. And he says what he means. And he means what he says. And God, there was a way they could bring that ark back. But they chose to do it another way. And God wasn't pleased with it. And so for 3 months, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, sat in Obed-Edom's home. And while it was there, he was being blessed. This box was the most sacred article in all of Israel's history, the most powerful object on the face of the earth at that time. A box measuring 4 by 2.5 by 2.5 was the focal point of Obed-Edom's home. And I'm certain beyond doubt that this box changed the way they lived in the house. Every day for 3 months, Obed-Edom's house, they were aware that God was living with them and lodging in their home. So when God's presence is welcomed, when God's presence is encouraged in our homes, folks, we will truly be blessed. Come on. Most homes have boxes today. It's called a TV. Right? In most of our homes, there I go again, Alejandro. In most of our homes, there's a box, and it's the focal point. Come on. The furniture is aimed just a certain way. Right? That's the focal point. It has the power to shape our homes. It has power to shape our lives. It has power to form our children, corrupt our values, disturb our relationships, and controls our time. In many Christians' homes, I'm sorry, brother, but it's been a while. I'm pretty good at this. Inside the Ark of the Covenant, the box that was in Obed-Edom's home, it brought blessings, and it reminded them daily God's presence in their home and his faithfulness. It reminded them of God's promises, his covenant with them, God's glory. Inside the Ark of the Covenant were 3 items. There were 2 stone tablets of the law given to Moses, which is God's word in our home. A jar of manna from Israel's wilderness wanderings, and it showed them God's provisions in his home. Aaron's budding staff, which showed God-ordained leadership in a home. Each of these, I believe, folks, should be present in our homes. Now listen, if you're the leader of the home, you may say, well, it's hard. You have to take a stand. And let me tell you something. Making decisions as a leader is not always a popular thing to do. Come on. There's decisions that I make that there's people not really happy with me. But I have to do what I have to do. There's times I've made decisions in my home where others weren't always happy with me. But I had to do what I had to do. You see, that's because when you hide the Word of God in you, you can stand up and be the leader that you need to be. Come on. Each of us, I believe, should be represented. Each of these situations, the Word of God, the provision of the Lord, the leadership should be represented in our homes. And when they are, we too, just like Obed-Edom, will be blessed. In Obed-Edom's home, God was acknowledged. He was valued. He was treasured. Jacob, who we read about earlier, he valued the worship of God in his family. In Genesis 35, verse 3, "And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." Let me ask you this today. Is there an altar in your home? Now, I'm not talking a construction altar in the home, but I'm talking about a heart that seeks God, a heart that worships God in the home. Is there that in your home? You see, we have to build an ark of salvation in our homes. In Hebrews 11, verse 7 says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear." That means respect. "Prepared an ark to the saving of his house," or his family, "by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Now listen, folks. Noah did all that he could to save his family from the impending judgment on the earth. He could not drag them into the ark, but he warned them and built the ark the way of escape for his family. The salvation of our homes is a paramount importance. We cannot save our families, folks. Only God can. Okay? But we can build in our homes what God has given us, the design, and that is a home that always points our family to Jesus Christ. Come on. Look, our kids, they're going to make their own choices. But we must point them in the right way. Listen, you say, "Well, Pastor, I can't make them." Listen, you can send them to college. You can't make them rich. What if they leave college and go become a bum? There are people on the streets with college educations, folks. But does that stop you from trying to make them do well? Well, then don't give that excuse to God either. You lead them in the way that they should go. If they make a decision not to, that's between them and God. But you did your right thing. They will make their choices. But we must point them in the right direction. While you have them, while they're in your home and you're raising them, just like my dad said, "It's my house, my rules. You don't like it, go." My dad grabbed me up at 18 years old when I started rebelling. He said, "Let me tell you something right now, son. This is my house, my rules. And I have 7 other kids younger than you that I'm responsible for. If you can't live by my rules, goodbye." And I left. Never went back. But you know what? My dad planted some things right here. And when I was trying to rebel and God was shaking me up, I said, "Okay, God, I give in. I don't want to live this way." And I got my tail back in church. I've been living for him ever since. You know why? Because my dad instilled it right here. The Bible says, "Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they will not depart from it." Okay? Because he put it here. It needed to be here also. He did the right thing. It's called tough love. How many of you could tell your kids to hit the road? I respect him for it. I truly respect him for it. I wrote him a letter not too long before he died. And I said, I am what I am in large part because of you. And I love you, and I want you to know that. He was upset with me at the time. He wasn't going to come to my Thanksgiving. I said, I want you there. And he came. See, folks, we have to raise them in the right way. They may get upset with us. Let me tell you something. I've always said this. Family, everybody, and all families have their little spats. But there's sometimes we don't do certain things to our children because we're afraid to upset them. They'll always get over it. Always. I've seen it throughout my family, all my extended family. They get mad at each other, and the next thing they need to go off, and they cool off, and next thing you know, they're all buddy-buddy like nothing ever happened. Just do what's right, and you'll be respected. Amen? So our kids will make their own choices, but we have to point them in their direction. And one day, your children will leave home. Now, if you're one of those parents that are so protective of the kids that you argue with your spouse and you guys go through things, you're foolish. Because let me tell you something, your kids are going to leave one day, but your spouse is still going to be there. So you need to come to an agreement how we are going to raise our children. Amen? Show them, teach them. Nothing comes between this relationship, not even you. And one day, your children will set up a home, but I pray that they'll set it up in the right way to resemble what you taught them. One day, if you taught them right, your children will desire, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord if you taught them right. So, where do we begin with our homes? How do we initiate God in our homes? We have to exalt God in our homes. We have to be an example of God in our homes. Listen, let me tell you something. Your children will pick up your hypocrisy like that. If you're one way at church and a different way at home, they won't want your God. Be the example at church and at home. Come on. So be the example. Be the encourager. Encourage faithfulness in your home. Educate in your home. Educate your children in the ways of God in your home. And establish godly values in your home. And if you will do these things, if you will exalt God in your home, if you will be an example of Christ-likeness in your home, if you will encourage faithfulness to your God in your home, if you will educate your children about God in your home and His ways in your home, and if you will establish godly values in your home, you will have a home that is blessed. Amen? Amen.